As we come to the reading from the Bible this morning, we've already heard some of it with the lighting of the candle, but we come again to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is God's story for us today.
This morning, we continue to explore what child is this through considering the story of the shepherds. The greeting of the angels to the shepherds is good news of great joy that will be for all people. The angel proclaiming the good news of Jesus' birth to shepherds provides us with another illustration of how Jesus comes for everyone. Last week, we considered the story of the wise men. And we saw how God's gift of salvation through Jesus has come for all. Here again, that message is reaffirmed. Jesus' coming is for everyone. From Gentile wise men from the East, now to ordinary Jewish working class shepherds. In response to the question, "What child is this?" last week we noted how he comes for all, and also that he is king. In the story today, we build on our understanding of this child. There are the obvious aspects, such as him coming, including everyone, and that he brings joy through the gift of salvation. But there's also profound symbolism going on in this story that gives us further insight into who Jesus is. What child is this? He is a shepherd and a lamb. Jesus came both as the good shepherd and the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. So first, let us reflect on Jesus as shepherd. Jesus described himself that way, saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The imagery of shepherd is prominent in Near Eastern history. As you look throughout the Bible, shepherds are mentioned over 100 times. One of the first careers found in the Bible, pages of the Bible, is that of a shepherd. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd, as was Moses and David. In biblical days, having great flocks and herds was deemed as blessings from the hand of God. And the owner of the flock was often the one who was also the shepherd. Other times, the work of the shepherd was delegated to the son or the daughter of the owner. And if you think back and you recall the story of David, David was given the responsibility of caring for his father's sheep before he was called to care for and lead the people of Israel as their king. The sheep that he cared for were located in Bethlehem. This means that Jesus was born near those pastures where David grazed his father's sheep centuries earlier. The primary duty of a shepherd was to make sure that the animals under his or her care had enough food and water and were protected. Philip Keller wrote a book years ago called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I had an opportunity to meet him many years ago at Keats Camps. He was a pastor, but before this, he made his livelihood as a sheep owner and sheep rancher. His book provides some great insights and understanding just as to what shepherding entails and the spiritual ramifications. And in his book, he comments about shepherds, saying, "The lot in life of any particular sheep depended on the type of man who owned it. Some men were gentle, kind, intelligent, brave, and selfless in their devotion to their stock. Under one man, sheep would struggle, starve, and suffer endless hardship. In another's care, they would flourish and thrive contentedly." Jesus is not just a shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He is deeply concerned for each one of us. In John 10:14, Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." David's famous poem, Psalm 23, speaks of the qualities of the Lord as the good shepherd. He begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." David describes these attributes of the Lord as the one that provides for his nourishment, leading him, guiding him. And he goes on to say how the shepherd protects him. Just as the shepherd was responsible for the food and watering of the sheep, protecting the flock was also a priority, one that had to be continually provided. This good shepherd would not only protect his sheep from wild animals, but also from thieves who might want to come in and snatch them from their home. In John 10, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." A good shepherd went to great lengths to attend, provide, and protect those under his or her care. He or she would make sure that they were unharmed and would go the extra mile to make sure that if one was lost, it was looked for until it was found. This child, lying in a manger, is the good shepherd, the one who would lay down his life for us. Philip Keller makes this comment. He says, "I recall quite clearly how in my first venture with sheep, the question of paying a price for my ewes was so terribly important. They belonged to me only by virtue of the fact that I paid hard cash for them. It was money earned by the blood and sweat and tears drawn from my own body during the desperate grinding years of the Depression. And when I bought that first small flock, I was buying them literally with my own body, which had been laid down with this day in mind. Because of this, I felt in a special way that they were, in very truth, a part of me and I a part of them. There was an intimate identity involved, which, though not apparent on the surface to the casual observer, nonetheless made those 30 ewes exceedingly precious to me. The day I bought them, I also realized I would, as their owner, have to continually lay down my life for them if they were to flourish and prosper. What child is this? He's the one who left the riches and comforts of heaven to care for us, to lead us, to guide us, and to bring us back into his fold. The mission of the shepherd is to look for and to rescue the ones who are lost. This is what a good shepherd naturally does. This is who the child in the manger would grow to become. He's the one who came to seek and to save those who are lost. Isaiah the prophet speaks of the Lord who would come as the good shepherd. And he says in Isaiah 40:11, like a shepherd, he will care for his flock, gathering the lambs in his arms, hugging them as he carries them, leading the nursing ewes to good pasture. He's not in isolation, removed from us, but with us. He walks with us where we are. The Lord is our good shepherd. He leads, guides, cares, seeks, and rescues us. I recently read this in a devotional that really touched me. It said, submerged beneath the surface of the visible world are mysteries too vast for you to comprehend. If you could only see how close I am to you and how constantly I work on your behalf, you would never again doubt that I am wonderfully caring for you. This is why you must live by faith, not by sight, trusting in my mysterious, majestic presence. What an incredible image this is for us, of that of the Good Shepherd. He is involved in our lives even now. Mysteries too vast for us to comprehend. Working on our behalf, caring for us, waking us up, as the shepherd in the opening clip shared. In his care, we see his hand working, leading, saving us. Jesus coming to lay down his life for us takes us to the next thing that we glean from this story. That is that Jesus is not only the good shepherd, but he is the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, it says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The reality is we have gone astray. We've wandered off, gotten lost, and we are in peril. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Bethlehem is just 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And it's most likely that the flocks that these shepherds were overseeing were being raised for temple sacrifices. In the temple, an unblemished lamb was offered to God as a sacrifice for sin. Like the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, Jesus offered his own body for us as a substitution. Jesus told the disciples that his blood is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Coming to the shepherds that night is a reminder that Jesus came as the sacrificial lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:18-20 tells us, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And then we read in Revelation 5:19-13. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God every person from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever. forever and ever. In this passage, we see the activity of heaven is the worship of Jesus. The whole of heaven bursts with praise. And in the story with the shepherds, the angels erupt with praise. And so do the shepherds after they come and they see Jesus. They cannot contain themselves from testifying what God has done, praising God for making Jesus' presence evident to them. The shepherds share their story then with all those that they come in contact. What then this morning is our response? Last week I pointed out how we are to come and worship, to bow down and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Added to that, our response, I think, is to be one of grateful praise, declaring to the world the good news of the gospel. How many people these days do not know what Christmas is really all about? Someone told C.S. Lewis the story of a woman who, at Christmas, when she saw a nativity scene in front of the church, said, "Oh my, they bring religion into everything. Look, they're dragging it even into Christmas now." A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of visiting with some longtime friends who have just moved into a retirement home, which they are so thrilled with, by the way, which is wonderful. And at mealtimes, they've been seated with this very nice couple who are similar in age and who also grew up here in the Lower Mainland. And as they have been chatting with this couple, they found out that these two people know nothing about Jesus. So my friends are sharing with them about the good news of this child in Bethlehem. This couple is interested in learning about Jesus. And so my friends are going to start an alpha course there in the retirement home. What do you see and hear as you look around this Christmas? Are you aware of people that have not heard about Jesus? People that are lost. People that are like a sheep needing a shepherd. As you look around at all the people, you know, bustling about and running all sorts of errands, remember that God came not to just a select few, but to all humanity. Even to those who curse God, who sin grievously against Him, or simply have not yet heard the gracious invitation to come. Daryl Bach, in his commentary on the book of Luke, notes this: "The world certainly rarely takes the time to really look and see what Jesus is all about. Usually it never gets past the story about the baby Jesus. Is that the church's fault for failing to engage the world? Is the world too busy to stop and notice, or too distracted by other appeals? Is it both? If the world does stop and look, it often sees Jesus as one teacher among many. But the teaching of the heavenly host rules out such a limiting view of Jesus. He is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He's no longer in a crib and no longer confined to a manger. He's now seated at the right hand of God, aware of what we do and say. If the Creator of the universe comes as a shepherd and invites us to consider ourselves His sheep, the special object of His care, attention, and affection, who better for us to follow and praise? And how natural then to proclaim that good news to others." As we sing in a hymn by Fanny Crosby, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may come in. What child is this? He's the Good Shepherd. He's the one who came to provide and protect His flock. He's the one who came to lay down His life. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who gave of His life so that we might be forgiven, living safely in His care. His name is Jesus, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now go and tell everyone what has been heard, seen, and experienced concerning what child this is, just as the shepherds did on that first Christmas in Bethlehem. Let's pray.